Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life. The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you doing?
Okay, Tov, Shavua Tov. I was also enjoying that Pink song. Do you know that Pink actually identifies as being Jewish?
Yes, and I believe
I'm reliably, reliably told that her mother's name, maiden name was Cool. Go figure out. But what I wanted to talk about is the fact that the Tel Aviv Central bus station has been ordered to close down by December the 5th.
Wow.
And it's got to be done like right away. The Tel Aviv Central bus station has been a very controversial place in general for as long as I can recall. The location where it is situated in South Tel Aviv is not the most savory of neighborhoods. And the Tel Aviv bus station itself, I think, has been accused of being responsible for drawing the kind of type of people to that particular area that we see there, which has caused it to be what can only be regarded as a kind of lower socioeconomic area, including the residence of many illegal immigrants. It's kind of just regarded as not a very nice neighborhood. And the latest order has been made by the Tel Aviv municipality, because apparently the Tel Aviv Central bus station does not have a fire permit. The fire and rescue services have inspected the place. They have not issued the necessary permits. They are apparently 400 privately owned stores within the multi-story Tel Aviv bus station building, which apparently contain flammable materials without adequate fire safety arrangements. And so the fire and rescue services have considered it to be unsafe for fire hazard purposes, as a result of which it's been closed down. And so I think there are a lot of people in the local area who will rejoice at the closing of this place, but it's obviously going to just create further chaos within the public transport system within Tel Aviv, which is already very disrupted due to the myriad of construction work that's going on in Tel Aviv, mostly around the construction of the light rail system, which has caused a lot of chaos, traffic chaos, public transport chaos within the central area of Tel Aviv.
I mean, it's an incredibly big decision, this.
It seems to have been a very, very easy decision. And I just wonder whether it wasn't just facilitated rather than based upon the lack of fire safety permit. I think that people have been looking for any possible reason to close the place down and to effectively condemn the building. There's just a lot of criminal, unsavory kind of activity that goes on around that area. And as I've said before, many people consider that to have been attracted to the area by the presence of the central bus station there. And so I don't think there are going to be too many sad people around there who to say goodbye to this place. Mm. It's not clear exactly what's going to happen to it. I mean, the piece of land is obviously valuable and something very, very good can be done with it. It's also not exactly clear how the transport system is going to cope with the closure of the central bus station. But I suppose over the course of the next month, 2 to 6 weeks, we're going to find out.
Absolutely. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett remained in Russia over Shabbat after his meeting with President Vladimir Putin was extended by a few hours. It's actually incredible because we haven't really seen this before, and we're starting to see it a lot in terms of Naftali Bennett versus Benjamin Netanyahu, in terms of the restrictions around Shabbat, where he's finding himself spending the day because he can't travel. So it is quite interesting.
I think this has been quite a fascinating story all the way around in so many different ways, and there's so much coverage about it in the press. And Naftali Bennett left in the early hours of Friday morning. I think they took off from Ben Gurion Airport at around 3 a.m., traveling with his entourage to Sochi, which is on the Black Sea coast of Russia, where President Vladimir Putin has his holiday home. And he has from time to time entertained international visitors for diplomatic meetings at his home in Sochi. This was one of those occasions. So the meeting was due to have run until around 1 o'clock Sochi time, which is almost on the same time zone in Israel. I think there's 1 hour time difference. And that would have allowed Naftali Bennett enough time to get on his plane and return back to Tel Aviv, back home to Ra'anana before the onset of Shabbat. As it turns out, the meeting dragged on for 2 or 3 hours. It wasn't just like a 5 or 10 minute overrun. This went on for 2 or 3 hours. And very, very quickly, his entourage began to understand that there was no possible way that the prime minister would return home in time for Shabbat, even with getting the Al crew onto their emergency footing. It was never going to happen. And so what does a person do when you find yourself in a strange locale and you're going to be stranded there for Shabbat? You phone Chabad, which is exactly what the Prime Minister's entourage did. The Sochi Chabad were delighted to host the Prime Minister and his entourage over Shabbat. There are stories about the Dvar Torah that the Prime Minister gave Shabbat meal, talking about the Parashat HaShavua, about the portion of the week, and about the fact that Abraham had his tent open to four directions. And of course, the Prime Minister used that in order to try and link it to his meeting with President Vladimir Putin earlier that day. Interestingly, we are also told that the president's office tried to phone Naftali Bennett during the course of Saturday on Shabbat, and he refused to accept the calls from President Vladimir Putin because they were considered not to be urgent enough to break Shabbat, to transgress the Shabbat rules of not being allowed to speak on the phone. And apparently they did eventually speak as soon as Shabbat was out on Saturday evening. The president just inquired that he was okay and everything had gone well for him. And then Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, along with his entourage, boarded the flight Saturday night back to Tel Aviv. So it's a great story. And the other part of the story, which I think is also fascinating, before we start talking about the tachlis, before we start talking about the real contents of what was discussed, is the fact that Zev Elkin went along with the Prime Minister as the translator. Now, Zev Elkin is currently the Housing and Construction Minister. He, of course, is an immigrant from the former Soviet Union. He also spoke to that Shabbat meal about how he learned Hebrew in the Soviet Union, when it was not allowed, when it was illegal to be able to do that, how he secretly learned Hebrew during that time before he managed to emigrate to Israel and, of course, become a minister in the government and an important person, of course, these days. And, of course, there's this great story about Zev Elkin. There's a great picture of him walking with the president and the prime minister. And Zev Elkin is carrying like a white carrier bag. And a lot has been written in the press about this white carrier bag and why it might not have been a little bit more appropriate for the occasion. Apparently, Zev Elkin's wife has been quoted on social media saying next time around, she will make sure that she will go to a better supermarket to get him a nicer looking carrier bag to carry important documents. We understand that because there were limitations as to how many people could attend the meeting, Zev Elkin, as the translator, was actually carrying a lot of the material that would otherwise have been carried by embassy officials who were not allowed to attend the meeting, as it turned out. And all he had was this white carrier bag to carry these belongings in. But onto the more important discussions. Apparently, Syria was very much on the agenda. Apparently, Iran was very much on the agenda, as one would have expected. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett is quoted as saying that we are almost neighbors with Russia because of the massive Russian presence that we see in Syria at the moment. There was, of course, a lot of discussion about how Israel and Russia can coordinate things. They're not actually at loggerheads, are not actually, let's say, in a conflict situation with the Russian forces in Syria. But there are numerous reports of Syrian anti-missile systems being used in Syria Russian anti-missile systems being used in Syria to shoot down Israeli attacks against targets in Syria and indeed against Lebanon. There was, in fact, another report overnight of an Israeli attack against targets in Quneitra. The Syrian agency has reported, and we understand that Russian anti-missile systems are being used. So one could almost consider there to be something of a conflict situation, seeing as the Russian systems are being used and, of course, Russian personnel on the ground there. And even a Russian missile has been launched across the border into Israel from Syria, which we understand wasn't done purposefully, but was nevertheless used against Israeli attacks that were launched in Syria. So Naftali Bennett referred to that as being kind of somewhat neighbors. And, of course, a lot of discussion about the Iranian nuclear situation. It's not exactly clear how all that went along. But from the body language and from everything that went on around the meeting, it seems like there was a lot of friendship and a lot of cooperation between the two leaders. And there was also discussion about Naftali Bennett's trip to Glasgow to the climate summit, which is due to take place in the next week or 10 days. So that seems to be what we know about what was discussed in that meeting.
Yeah, it's really fascinating, because starting to see this relationship develop between the two, and I think it's so vital that they can have these kinds of conversations, and it'll be interesting to see how this relationship develops over the next couple of years.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
The U.S. has asked Israel for an explanation as to why it declared Palestinian rights groups as terror organizations. Are steps like this not usually coordinated with the U.S. government?
Well, they are usually coordinated. And in fact, if we believe what the Israeli government officials are saying, then we will understand that, in fact, it was coordinated. And it's a little surprising that the U.S. administration has jumped up and said, we don't agree. And why are you doing this without coordination? Because on Friday, Defense Minister Benny Gantz was at the forefront of this declaration that six Palestinian non-governmental organizations, which claim to be human rights groups, he declared them to be terror organizations. And the reason for that is because it is claimed by Israeli intelligence sources that these organizations have funneled funds to the PFLP, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, which is in itself a designated terror group, not only by Israel, but indeed by the US and by the European Union and by other countries. And so the fact that these so-called human rights organizations have been channeling funds to a designated terror organization has resulted in Israel feeling that it is justified to declare those rights organizations also terror organizations simply because they're feeding funds to it. So, of course, Washington has come out to say that, you know, they will very much support the idea of human rights organizations, particularly within the Palestinian area, and that they are pretty surprised and have asked for information. They've said that the U.S. supports a strong civil society and respect for human rights. And in the words of Ned Price, who is a spokesman for the U.S. State Department, he says, and we will be engaging our Israeli partners for more information regarding the basis for these designations. So a little bit of lack of coordination somewhere along the right way here, because on the one hand, the Israeli media, government feel that they did coordinate this. The U.S. seemed to question it. So it's not clear exactly where this particular story is going. I don't think this represents a major fallout between the two administrations, but it is a little niggle that's somewhat annoying, I think.